K8RUH.
W8FU.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. So it was real quiet Friday. Everybody was off. And that was my first day back to work. We're ready for a regular old drive.
It was rather quiet last week. I think Dakota's been getting into the office at his correct time, which is before you and I leave. So I think I only talked to him once last week, and I talked to you on Monday. So yeah, it's been quiet around here.
Yep, that's the problem with drive times, is work dictates when you got drive time, usually. So I try to get in at 7:30 every morning. We kind of officially open at 8. Well, I mean, we're officially open at 7:30, but the early shift is 7:30, and then the later shift is 8:30. Just to give us a little overlap into the other shifts.
Yeah, I need to be in the office by 8, but I'm usually there somewhere between 7:30 and 7:45. So that's when I like to get in. Actually, if I had my choice, I'd work 7 to 3:30 and call it a day. But right now, that is not my current hours. That was my hours for about 15 years, and changed, I don't know, a year ago, year and a half ago. It's not that bad, but in the summer, it is certainly nice to be home at 3:45, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, it's like we work either 7:30 to 3:30 or 8 to 4. And, you know, before everybody says, oh, wait a minute, you know, it's only 8 hours, what about lunch? We only get 7.5 hours pay a day, 7.5 hour work days, which is kind of weird. Took me a while to kind of adjust to that, but it is what it is. You know, we're paid annual salary, and, you know, and then you just divide it by the number of hours, so it actually works out to, you know, better. Just, you know, but then after they calculate your annual salary and then divided by, you know, 1957 and a half hours, you know, then you think, boy, if I worked 8 hours a day, you know, 40 hours a week, look how much more money I'd make. Yeah, but your salary is based on annual, not on, you know, not on hourly, so. But, yeah, we're 7.5 hours, so. Oh, well. I mean, it's nice, you know, 7:30 gets you out at 3:30.
Yeah, that is pretty nice, and if it's based on an annual salary, that's all that matters, right? And, yeah, that works out well.
Yuppers. Oh, so the hourly rate is a little higher that way because there's less hours, you know, a year to work, half hour. But 2.5 hours a week, so it'd be nice to have that little extra bump. And I'm sure if we did go to 40, they wouldn't readjust, but that's like a fantasy. They'd never do that and keep our, you know, rates the same. They'd probably do neither, but so I'll take it. I'll take the shorter work day. Anywho, and a lot of them have to take an hour, so they're actually doing 7:30 to 4 or 8 to 4:30. But they have to take an hour and still only get paid 7.5, you know. So I'm glad at least we don't have to do that, because I don't need no hour. I need enough time to eat my lunch and get back to work.
Yep, and if all the work gets done in 7.5 hours, it is what it is. It's not necessary to be there any longer.
You know, I didn't... When you were saying that, I thought, yeah, we're not really open to the public. And then, of course, my you know, ooh, squirrel, my brain started thinking of, I don't know if I told you or not, a few weeks ago we had the First Amendment auditors all around our campus, kind of like trying to provoke somebody.
Those people are just as bad as the people that are protesting the Tesla dealerships because they don't like Elon now.
Elon's a Nazi.
Is that Dakota? Sorry, guys, I was on the phone. Good morning. NADF. Holy moly, there's that liberal pinko fag. What the hell, man? Go ahead, Anthony.
Wow, this escalated quickly. Good morning, Dakota.
Dude, I actually spit out my monster. Yeah, right. That's what we used to, that was a slur they used back in the 70s or the 80s, libero pinko fag, and I'm like, it was a slur they used to throw around. But it's a goodie. So anyhow, I digress. What's shaking? We were just talking about life, hours, the work-life balance. Well, I was single dad of three this weekend. My wife had to work, so I didn't get any time off. And starting my first shift on my way into work. So just ready for another week. What about you guys? How we doing? Everyone have a good weekend?
Sure did, sure did. You see my Snapchat to you last night, Dakota?
Go direct. I did. I replied to it. I said I wish I knew how to fly fish.
I just haven't checked Snapchat this morning. Yeah, that was quite the sweetheart deal I found. So I had to pick up a new fly rod yesterday. They had the fly fishing show at Macomb. It was a little disappointing, but I got a hell of a deal, so I was happy.
So, yeah, fly fishing looks good. I that was something I could see myself trying. Never have. So, I assume you have. If you know what a good deal is, you must keep your eye on it. And you've done it before. You can come back around. I did some other hobby related stuff as well. In addition to, I would say my three things that rise to the level of hobby are ham radio. The ones that cost me money, right? Ham radio, firearms, and audio, or home audio. But I haven't. That one's been on ice for a long time, you know. And now that I'm an empty nester and I can reclaim a room in my house, I'm kind of getting back into setting something up. So that was my weekend picking up a component towards that end. Dakota. Do you ever wish you had hobbies that weren't outrageously expensive? Like, I'm trying to think of one. Like knitting, drawing, anything, bird watching, anything of the sort. Yeah, mine are up there with you. It's firearms, hunting, radio, gaming, technology kind of thing. It's like, oh, those are all economical.
Dakota. We could make knitting and drawing expensive, and I can guarantee that. I took my daughter to an art store a year ago, and they had $100 markers, and it wasn't a large set. It was like 40 markers. So you can make any hobby that you get into expensive. And yes, Sean, I have spent a lot of time fly fishing over the years and really enjoy it. Don't get out as much as I would like to because most of the good fly fishing rivers are up north and a couple hours away, so I tend to get out, you know, 3 to 5 times a year. There's a little bit of stuff locally that you can do that just do, like, you know, day trips to get out and fish, but I do a couple, you know, long weekends a year fishing with some buddies. So Yeah, I love it. But yes, hobbies are absolutely outrageous. And yeah, firearms, hunting, fishing, radio, skiing. I think I found all the expensive ones, but like I said, you can make anything expensive.
Leave a little space in there in case somebody else wants to join the breakfast club. But, yeah, you know, I was thinking the exact same thing. Is there a cheap hobby? But, you know, when you think about it, if you get into basket weaving and, you know, you get crazy, you know, sure, it probably gets crazy, it probably gets expensive and all that. But if you get into firearms and it gets crazy, or if you get into hunting and fishing and it gets crazy, or if you get into, you know, audio and it gets crazy, they just go crazy in a whole different level. So, you know, apples, apples. But if you're moderate in one and then you go crazy in a lesser one, then they could get equal there. But yeah, I'll bet you even the hobbies we're writing off as affordable are probably, you know, have their things, you know. You know, well, I wanted these $1,000, you know, German knitting needles. They're, you know, they've been made by this same place since 1892, you know, Dakota. It's funny you say that because my mother-in-law knits, and I had this conversation with her because she was like, why do you have so many guns and this, that, and the other thing? And I'm like, I don't know, like, I picked an expensive hobby. And she goes, well, so is knitting. And I'm like, how is knitting expensive? And she was, like, breaking it down, and you're not lying. Like, these needles and stuff are, like, sometimes they're $60, $70, $80, and it's, like, for a piece of metal, but I guess there's, like, different hooks and all that crap. I don't know. I didn't get too far into whether I lost interest, if I'm being totally honest. But, yeah, I mean, we probably are writing it off. But like you said, it's like, radio, right? Like, okay, I bought a radio. Well, now I need a tuner. Well, now I need an antenna. Like, it's not like you buy the thing and you're done. Same with hunting. Like, Anthony, I sent him a picture of my new crossbow I got this weekend, and then it's like, okay, well, now I need this, and I need this, and I need this, and it's like, it never ends.
Yeah, you know, and I definitely have experienced that with a couple things recently. You know, Dakota, I've been looking for a bow, and so when I've talked to people, they're like, oh, well, this is $500, whatever it costs, and I go, okay, but what is it going to cost me to actually walk out of here and shoot it? They're like, well, you need a sight, you need a lift, you need arrows, you need a quiver. And it's like, okay, so it's going to cost $1,000. And they're like, well, yeah, okay, well, don't tell me it costs $500 then, because I don't want a bare bow. I want to walk out the door and be able to use it. And same when I got into the suppressors, it was like, okay, what is it going to cost me to walk out the door with this thing and put it on a gun and shoot it? And, you know, depending on how you want to attach it, that cost changes drastically. So, yeah, it's all in what does it actually cost to make it function and usable? And that often changes drastically from your initial price.
So just a little give and go on that particular subject. How long, I mean, I'm assuming you got one recently. I haven't gotten a new one in quite a few years. What are they running now? And I wonder if, and then I got a second thought. But just what was it running now to process your form?
Time-wise, a form 4, I've seen them come back as fast as, like, 48 hours. It's still $200 for a suppressor.
Oh my God, 48 hours. I waited months for mine. Months. I think, yeah, it was probably pushing a year. And there were some people that were waiting over a year for their Form 4. Oh my God. Hours? Days? Oh my God, that's cool. So, and then my second thought, and we can throw this out to the broader conversation, but I wonder if Doge has had its eyes on ATF. Dakota?
From what I've been reading, and I'm happy to hear, Cash Patel is taking control of ATF, and they're restructuring a lot of it. So hopefully this bureaucratic BS of You know, regulating stupid metal tubes is going to go by the wayside. My buddy, the last one he bought was 27 hours from submission to approval. And, yeah, my first Form 4 was a 22 can. I waited 381 days. And then my second E-Form, which was right after they came out, was like 200-something days. It took forever. And then now they're just banging through them. So if you want one, get it while the getting's good, because my theory is if the stamp goes away, which there's a good chance it will, and they'll become non-regulated items, which they should, because even in miserable countries that you can't even get guns, you can go buy a suppressor over the counter, the inventory is going to be gone. Like, inventory is already scarce right now because the approval time's so fast.
Yeah, like Dakota said, if that goes away, they're going to be virtually impossible to get, probably for a year or longer. The demand will outweigh the supply exponentially, and then at some point it'll level off, and you'll be able to walk in and buy a 22 can for $100, which will be amazing. But, yeah, Sean, they're going super fast. Actually, the speed at which they are being approved is the reason that I started getting into them, because I always wanted one, and then the time that it took, I just don't have that type of attention span. If I buy something, I want it, so I never got into it, and then they started speeding it up, and I think my first one took a month. And then I have a couple now. The last one I got was a 9mm can, and it was like, man, I think I waited like 4 days. And I have a buddy that got his back in 24 hours.
That's cool. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start rekindling that one. I want to get a 22 can, and I want to get, you know, a threaded barrel for one of my pistols. I don't know which one. I got a few different ones that I would serve the, probably one of my SIG. Or I might even buy something specifically for that. But yeah, I'd like to get a 22 can, so I'd be curious if anybody's got any current information on what's a good one. Save me all the, I mean, I enjoy the research, so don't get me wrong, but, you know, if somebody's got a, you know, like, already done the legwork on a 22 can recently, I'd be curious what the go-to is, if there is even one. They're all pretty similar. And, yeah, 9. I wouldn't mind adding a 9 as well, again, for a pistol. So that would be cool. Those are two I don't have, and I didn't have any 9mm until fairly recently. I had an old, you know, West German SIG. And, you know, that was 9, but that was more, I didn't use that thing all that much, and I never really focused on 9, but now I'm kind of big time in 9, and I've put all the 40 away, so, 22 can, I got to get one, and I'm curious what there is, and now that you're saying it's ours, oh, man.
I love my 9s. I'm going to make this my final. I'm in the parking lot. But I have a Psycho Sparrow. I think Anthony does too. I am encroaching or surpassed 1,000 kills with that thing. Point of impact doesn't change. It's got, God, I couldn't even tell you how many rounds through it. 17 HMR, 22 long rifle, 22 mag. Takes apart, comes apart really easy for cleaning and stuff. Half 28 threading. Really, really good can. I think they're like $300. A host. If you want to buy something specifically and don't want to break the bank, FN-402, $400, comes with an extra 15-round mag and a 10-round mag, or 12-round mag. Awesome, awesome clone of the 509 FN, the full-size. Has an optics plate and all that goodies. So, sweet little pistol for a very good price. Great 22 hose. All right, gents, I'll be clear on your final NADDF.
Have a good one, Dakota. And, yeah, Sean, the Silencer Co. Sparrow is kind of the, I don't know, it's like the Yaesu VX6R of suppressors. Like, it's kind of the benchmark. Everybody has one. They cost $350 right now. They're, like Dakota said, they're kind of indestructible and serviceable. So everybody loves them. It's kind of the way to go for a 22 can. But there is, I will send you some contact info. There is a gun shop that I've been dealing with that is in your area. They are at like 10 and DeQuinder, and they make it so easy to go through the process that I wouldn't personally deal with anyone else. Small gun shop, husband and wife, they're good people, and, you know, they're super easy to deal with. I've done a ton of business with them, and now a bunch of my buddies have too, so I'll get that over to you this morning or later this afternoon.
I caught everything right up to the tail end there where you said who you've been dealing with. Yeah, so I'm surprised that hasn't changed since I was looking. That's exactly the one I had honed in on. And my 300 black can is a, my 308 can is, but I got it for 300 black specifically. That's a Silencer Co. as well. And the Sparrow was top of my list, but who are you dealing with?
The place is called The Island Armory. They're at like 10 and DeQuinder area, and they're super easy to deal with. They do like all the legwork for you. You know, obviously you got to be there, you got to sign, you got to pass the background check and everything, but they're submitting all the forms. They have they're experts at submitting this stuff. So it's called The Island Armory. Small little shop. You walk in there and you're like, oh wow, it's like an office. Super low overhead, and they just move a bunch of guns and also some suppressors and other Form 4 items. It's a pretty awesome place. Super nice people.
I'm at the window right back.
That's cool. I'm grabbing gas. I'll be listening, though.
All right. I'm pulled away from the window. Let me know when you're done with gas.
Will do. Give me just a minute.
I turn on my radio, and I hear Sean talking about basket weaving. The first words I heard, I thought I was on the wrong channel. Good morning, W8RCY listening.
Yep, I got into it. That's my new hobby. And I'm driving to Traverse City this weekend to pick up a special set of basket weaving things. They're made by a Swedish company that specializes in basket weaving, and they're only $492. So it's a real bargain. I have to get them while I can.
That sounds more like fun than what I'm going to be doing this coming weekend. I'm flying out Tuesday night to Sebring, Florida, work a 12-hour race on Saturday. So sorry, I won't be able to join you on that trip. But I turned it on and I heard that. I said, basket weaving? What channel am I on? Then again, I'm on the Bofang today and not my other radio. So these Bofangs, you never know what you're going to tune in on them, I guess. Okay, well, I'll let you guys continue your talk about guns. And just want to say good morning. Have a good week. Catch up with you later before I go on Tuesday night. W8RCY, we're clear.
Good morning, sir. Sean, I am back.
All right, Donald. Well, if I don't talk, I'll talk to you. But if I don't talk to you, travel safe, have fun, and we'll see when you get back. And I'll let you know how the basket weaving trip went. But last time, Anthony, I went to Silencer Shop. They're great. They do everything as well. But you have to pick a local dealer. And they had a list to pick from. There's a guy in Royal Oak that handled it for me, so I just did that. I went completely through them, and you know, and then just pick somebody off the list that was local. But I like that idea better. You know, you don't even just one-stop shopping, take care of everything. So I'm going to look into that. Although I got to recover a little bit from it's not been a great month for me when it comes to the discretionary spending. So I need a little time to recover.
I know how that goes. Yeah, these guys are great. Like if you say you know what you want, you could call them. You could order it either over the phone or online, and then when it comes in, or if they have it in stock, you go into the shop, you fill out all your paperwork, they submit it, and then, you know, you pay for your tax stamp and everything. Then you wait, your Form 4 comes back, and you go in and pick it up. You know, they take care of everything. You sit there and she fills out the paperwork for you while you're sitting there, and they submit it to the ATF. It's all, I mean, I couldn't be happier, and I couldn't imagine it being any easier than it is under the current system that you have to abide by.
Roger. Well, that's cool. I mean, I still don't like the idea of the stamp, but it is what it is for now, right? I think if they get rid of it, you know, you're going to see a lot. They're easy to manufacture. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of machine shops that could go into production tomorrow. I think what will ultimately happen is, there might be a rush, you know, and for a little while people gear up and tool up, you know, there might be a rush. But I think in short order, they'd probably have this stuff pumping it out, and the prices would probably plummet. And it looks like I may be the first one in the shop this morning. Interesting. Oh no, Georgie Borgie's in there. He just hasn't turned the lights on yet. And Paul. Holy cow, and geez, oh Pete. Bunch of guys in there, they just don't like the lights on. All right, I'll listen out to your final, and then I got to jump inside. W-A-W.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it will quickly normalize inventory. I think you probably have a six-month rush that these companies can't handle. And I think there's going to be tiered quality that you'll get. You're going to be able to get some that are $100 and, you know, they're going to not last. And then you're going to be able to get some, like, from the companies that we already know, and they're going to be good quality, higher-end stuff. And it will be fun if it changes, because I don't know why, for health and safety, you wouldn't put a suppressor on every single firearm you own. I just think it's so good. It's so for your ears, for the people around you. It's just, it would be a great thing to be able to utilize for that health and safety aspect. And have a great day, Sean. I will catch up with you maybe this afternoon, or I'll talk to you tomorrow. KEA-RUH.
Yeah, you know, when you look at England, you can't get anything, but you can go right in and buy one over the counter because they recognize this is more of a safety item than anything to protect people's hearing. And, you know, but everybody, you know, has these stupid, they saw movies where some sort of bad guy was had a pistol with a silencer. No, they don't. Never, ever. It's like, you probably, if you statistically look at the number of crimes that are committed with silencers, it's probably some extremely low number. It just doesn't happen in reality. They just protect your neighbor, you know, when you're in, you know, people's ears is what they do. And then the word's wrong, silencer. They're not silencers, they suppress. So, but I'm speaking to the choir. All right, I just walked in. I will still be able to listen out, but this is my final. WFU.
choir is listening, Sean. I'm with you. Yeah, have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. KE8RUH.
KF8BOT, I'll be monitoring while I'm driving into work. WASU ABAP.
Good morning.
Hello. I sent you a text. I just want to make sure you got it.
The last one I got from you was regarding those transistors. And I replied to it. That's the one you're referring to?
I just sent you one like 2 minutes ago. I guess it was 9 minutes ago. Okay. Basically, I'll just say what it was. If you can let me know as soon as possible if you have that. I was able to pull that board out and the transistor out. Boy, was that a pain. Got to tell you. You know, it's got these flat capacitors on it. They were like, you know, they're just soldered to the board all over the place. It was really difficult. So I measured it, and it's definitely bad. In fact, there was even a break in the circuit board somehow in the trace. So I'm going to try and get one. If you don't have one, I'm going to try and get one like overnighted or 2 days to get here so I can test the amp before Sunday, because it will make a big difference on what I'm going to be shopping for.
All right, I got some bookkeeping to do. I was pretty much gone all last week, so I've got some stuff to do. I'll get to it probably within the next hour or so. I'll have you an answer on that. I got to go do a little digging around.
All right, great. And I got to find these, mica capacitors, metal clad mica capacitors. Those I'm probably going to have to order online somewhere. I wonder if that place on the east side, that Able Electronics, would have those. Probably not.
No, you're probably going to have to go to a place like RF Parts or something like that. But you know the value on those caps? It's a long shot, but while I'm digging, if I see some.
Yeah, there's 225s and 235s. At least that's what the schematic, I found a schematic for it as it shows, but actually they've got 235s, what are actually in there, 235s, so a 25 and a 30. So I don't know why that was different, but like I said, the schematic for it shows 235s and 225s. That's weird that one was different.
Right, no, and that's picofarad, I'm sure, right?
Yeah, those little square flat ones, you know what I'm talking about?
We call them Underwoods, but again, picofarad at those frequencies for that application, those are going to be picofarad, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. What did you say they're called?
We used to refer to them as Underwood caps. I don't know if there was a reason for that, but Underwoods, we just say you got to replace the Underwoods, or, you know, that's the name we used to fly around here when we were doing a lot of that.
Underwood. Interesting. All right. Thanks. That could be helpful.
Okay. Let me get to my stuff. The sooner I get to this stuff done, I can get on it. But, All right, I'll let you know shortly. So get a few.
Okay, I'll be waiting. ABAP. On the road again, studying the best and on the road again.
Some people would say not to quit your day job, but that was pretty good. You might have a nice little evening gig there. W8RCY, good morning.
I know, right? W8FSM, good morning. Leaving Grambling for Oxford.
Well, I live on a senior campus, and I'm on my way down to the other end of the senior campus to go get my back adjusted, so that's just about a 10-minute walk. So enjoy your ride, safe travels, have a great day. W8RCY, Madison Heights, Michigan. Personal air is Donald. Have a great day.
Have a good day. W8FU, APAT. W8FU, ABAPR.
From W8DIJ.
KF8BDA. KF8 Bravo Papa Alpha Monitoring.
W8FU.
N8NM.
W8FU.
What? Oh, just running out for a lunch. Thought I'd see who was out and about. How goes the lizard hunting?
Very good. They haven't caught anything, but the one under the litter box is still there. And there was a squirrel on the screen taunting them this morning, which was kind of fun.
Hold on one sec, I gotta switch my PL settings here. Got an annoying burst on key here. One sec. Huh, with scepter tone squelch. Well, there you go. It's pretty nice up here. I know you were given a... We're 60, so I ran out with no jacket, just a short sleeve, a heavier but short sleeve shirt, some slacks, and I feel fine. So,
woohoo! Yeah, very good. I was watching Dina this morning, and yeah, it looked like you were going to get, what, up around 60 today, I think it was?
Yes, sir. According to my thermal bobber in the car here, it's 59, so, and, you know, we still got a little bit before the hottest part of the day, but we're pretty close. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't hit 60 by 2, 3 o'clock. So there you go. I don't know how long it's going to last or if this is the last hurrah, but, you know, March is like that. So we will see. Got the roundabouts over here by the plank and 19.
Well, you guys aren't too far behind us temperature-wise. Like I said, we hit our peak earlier this morning and kind of going to hang out around 70-ish the rest of the day. It actually feels chilly because you get used to the humidity. It was really damp yesterday and this morning. Now it's starting to dry out, but you got all the moisture still in the air from, you know, the water and the grass and everything from the rain. And it just kind of makes it feel clammy, but it's not. It's weird.
Well, we're not likely to have high humidity for a while, so we're okay in that department. But I'm not a fan, but you'll be getting out of there before it gets too terrible. I know it can get oppressive in the summer, but that's why you went to use summer up here. Do you winter down there, or do you summer up here? Which is it?
I would say I winter down here because I do consider up there my home base, as it were.
Yeah, I think wherever you spend the transitional seasons is home. So you spend spring and fall, and all of fall, a good portion of spring. Holy cow, I decided to run to get a carry out from the Wildflower. Remember the Wildflower? Place is packed, as usual. Nothing surprising there. All right, I'm just pulling in. I'm going to run and grab my sandwich, and I'll be back out here in a few. Catch you then. Thanks for the W8FU.
Okie dokie, catch you in a bit. N8NM.
Alrighty then. Place is packed as usual.
I forgot. Can't use that one. Where's that place at? I remember the name, and I can kind of picture it, but I cannot for the life of me remember where it is.
Keene and Garfield. So there's like a strip mall, and there's a Buscemi's, and It's right in the, it's like one of the end buildings in the strip mall. You know, I've been there a few times. A lot of really, they get good portions, good prices, and food's always really good. And, but the place, you know, you get to be lunchtime, the place is packed. It's where all the seniors like to go.
I was just going to say, that's why I remember that place. That's where, like, my brother and I would meet my mom and take her to lunch when she lived over that way.
Yeah, tough to beat. Great place. So I wanted a club sandwich. I had a hankering. It's kind of one of my go-to comfort foods is a turkey club. So I, you know, I've never liked anything from the Golden Greek, and I don't know what it is. Everything I've ever had has been, so even though it's the closest place to work, I just, And I've tried, the guy, the little dump across, right across Grossbeck ain't horrible. But you got to go a ways, you know, we're just in a funny little spot there. And I found one that wasn't too bad down by Cass, between Grossbeck and Gratiot. It's not terrible. For a club sandwich, that is, specifically. But I never had one from here, and I said, you know what, I'm going to run over there today, see how theirs is. Everything else they do is good, so this should be good, too.
Ah, muy bueno. Yeah, that little dump across Cass, or across Grossbeck and Cass there, that's, I used to eat lunch there a lot when I worked over there, and at the time they had, like, $5 lunch specials, and it was, like, you know, a hot turkey sandwich with mashed potatoes. You know, it was decent, and the portions were reasonable, and it was cheap, so what the heck.
It's called Emerson's now, or technically the full name is Emerson's on the Grill. And the guy that cooks there, he used to work for Hudson's when they had their restaurant, and he does a lot of that stuff, like he does the Maurice salad and some other various things that were kind of unique to the Hudson's Cafe, which was really good. And his food's always really good. And I don't know if he was, when you were here, I can't even remember now, when were you actually with us, you know, when it comes back. But anyhow, yeah, he cooks real good. But the place is, you know, a dump. It really is. And, you know, people that, you know, look under every, you know, spot or everything like that, you know, it's going to be, they're going to be the ones that go, oh, it's disgusting, it's dirty and all that stuff. That doesn't even faze me. If my silverware's clean and my food's, you know, the plate's clean and the booth I'm sitting in and the floor's not just, you know, littered up, I'm pretty easy, right? And I'm certainly in places that many would consider, you know, would even go so far as to say unsanitary because they saw, you know, like a, you know, they saw like a something, you know, in a corner or something like that, you know, or, and he's definitely, you know, a lot of people, that's the biggest complaint yet, but everybody that comments is excellent food.
Yeah, I was there from, let me think, 97 to 2000, just almost exactly 3 years.
Oh, okay, so you got to do the Y2K thing with us. Yay. The big nothing burger. I never could recall exactly, you know, what year it was, so. I thought it was still in the 90s, the very end, but there you go. And you went right over to, the dark side from there, right? That was your direct. Yeah, because you were over at the dark side, then you came over to, you know, the you saw the light for 3 years, and then you went back to the dark side because they begged you to come back and run things.
Now, it's more just being an industry whore. They offered me more money, so I went for it.
Yeah, but when you left, you were a tech, and when you went back, you run the place, so and more than just money.
No, in retrospect, it wasn't a bad move. I mean, it, economically or however you want to look at it, it worked out for me. I can't complain. But I will. I'm more than happy to.
All because some jack wagon saw saw you wrenching on a 940 on North River Road. South River Road, right?
South River Road.
You know. And the rest is history. I went back to work that first couple of times I saw you, and I said, Mike, I said, we have got to get this guy. I'm going to tell you right now, he's fixing stuff way harder than the stuff here, with way pickier customers, for half the money. I said, we need to get this guy today. So I was like, holy crap, he's got a 940 all apart. Customer just waiting to see if you left a fingerprint on the bezel. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was fun in 8NM. And I remember talking to Mike, and Mike really didn't have a filter, but he was diplomatic about what he said. He's like, I'm really trying to find a reason not to hire you because you're a ham.
I know. He was the one that just said, he'd roll his eyes, commercial LMR, a ham, oh my God. And rightfully so at that time. The good ones were working in the broadcast industry and whatnot. All right, anyhow, I just pulled up with my Sam Eats. I'm going to get inside. I'll be back on the radio in a bit. This 15 minutes of memory lane has been brought to you by W8FU.
I don't know why I'm here at 8NM.
Charlie Zulu. Thank you.
Right now.
Okay, because I'm getting close to the limit of when they can ship out overnight or get it out tonight yet.
All right, it is a long shot, but I'm walking back there right now.
Okay, I'll be here, ABAPR.
Should know better on Mondays. Mondays are never convenient. ABAPR, W8FU.
Yes, sir.
I do not know where they put the bulk of them. What I've got here, no, is a big no. I thought there were more, but it's going to take me longer to figure that out, and they may have just sold them at auction or something. Been a very long time, so I just order them.
Okay, no problem. That's what I'll do. Thank you for checking. ABAPR.
Yeah, I remembered them being in one spot. I went there and I found some, but nothing really that matches. And I'm thinking it's been so long since we did anything UHF. I'm sure those got, they get taken out of inventory, they get left on another shelf, which is non-inventory, and then after they're there for a while, they get rotated to either, sell or auction or pitch, so, weird. All right, sorry about that.
keep forgetting Judge Judy comes on at 3 here.
How does one forget that?
I don't know. I think I should see my doctor. Nathan M. I keep thinking I'd like to retire someday, but I'm not so sure now.
Steve is the poster child for retirement life.
Poster child. We got shuffleboard tonight. That after dinner at 4:30? Sure, maybe that's why I didn't know, or I keep forgetting about Judge Judy, because I'm usually eating around 3 o'clock. Well, the Tigers are getting their butts kicked by the Yankees in spring training today. But it's a nice day to sit outside, so that's okay. I should see if that's on. I'd rather watch that than Judge Judy. Or at least listen to it. Let's see. Yeah, that's an Odyssey one, right? Yep. I turned on 97.1 earlier, and I was disappointed that it wasn't on. And I downloaded the Odyssey app and was a little salty that I couldn't listen without having to pay something. And then on a whim, I put on 1270 AM, and there it was. So, yay for cheap. Really? Oh, where are we at here? I wonder, what do they call that? Do they have another name for that besides, let's see, I can watch it listen to it in Espanol. We'll try that. That might be good. I think that was Carlos Guillen doing it, I thought I saw. I lack the language diversity to listen. I saw that. I saw the Spanish language offering, but I wasn't ready to try to do that.
I can't make out much of it. I like the inflections. They do get excited. Of course, our guys get just as excited. It just sounds funny in another language.
And George Carlin had a bit, you know, many, many years ago about listening to the Yankees game in Spanish. And, you know, he said if you can count to 3, you can kind of follow the count and the emotion of the announcer and stuff. Kind of the same thing.
I've tried it, you know, to actually figure it out and, I don't know. I know Pelota is the baseball itself, but that's about really all I know. Oh, there it is. Okay, they call it the bet. The bet. I don't bet, though.
Is that where you can hear it live? I didn't even click that. It was not intuitive. I should look at that.
Yeah, it sounds like they got their B team in the booth today.
Yeah, Bobby Scales is doing the car, but I don't remember the announcer's name. He's the usual substitute, I think. I don't remember his name.
I was wondering last year, is Danny looking to retire?
I don't know. I guess it stands to reason that's going to come eventually, but and he seems to enjoy it a lot.
I enjoy him a lot, so I would hate to see him go. I mean, if he does hang around, or if he does get to where he doesn't like the traveling, hopefully he can work out a gig like Mickey Redmond and what Jim Price had going for a while, where they don't do the away games. I think Gibby's got that going on the TV side. But, yeah, a worthy successor to Mr. Harwell.
Oh, yeah, he's one of the best. All right, but back to Detroit. I want to try this.
N-A-N-M. K-A-B-B.
You know, the app here is not at all in sync with what's coming out of the radio. I'm trying to figure out, where it is. It is way off. Several minutes, it sounds like. See if I can figure out who's ahead or behind.
Yeah, I've noticed, like, we do a streaming service for TV at home, and watching it on TV, it's several minutes behind the live radio, which kind of sucks, because I remember, listening to the play-by-play over the radio and watching the TV, and they were more or less in sync, give or take a second or two, it seemed.
Yeah, I'll be back in a few minutes. I got to take a call here. After and off, but not quite off. C-8-D-B.
Very good. N-8-N-M. K-E-8-R-U-H. K-E-8-R-U-H.
Yeah, know my, I think I'm 6'1", my dad was 6'2", and my brother was 6'3".
I'm 6'7". 6 is the height.
I believe 5'7". Yeah, my oldest is probably going to be in the 6 foot mark somewhere.
Well, Monday's in the books. Oh man, that PFN is in town for some kickoffs tomorrow, Steve. So that's fun. Although that stuff all postdates you, I think. So you probably don't recall the joy that is transitioning to PFN.
Yeah, no, I was there. I would presume it's easier now.
Well, when we said we didn't want to be first, we wanted to let the bug shake out, and they kind of laughed, the reps from PFN. They said, yeah, good thing you did. And because I guess it was a bumpy ride at first. So that was kind of why we, you know, but now here we are, we're the last. So, you know, we went from not wanting to be the first, now we're the very last, but, you know, we didn't expect COVID to hit right in the middle there, so it kind of put us behind the eight ball, and you know, we're a big one, you know, with 9 PSAPs, and it's not like, you know, it's knocking out Mayberry RFD.
I just got home, maybe.
What did you do, Lance?
Got home. Anyway.
Well, that'll teach you. Some Todd Rundgren. Rundgren. I always say that wrong. I always put a T on it for some reason. When I saw the light on a 67 degree afternoon, it's perfect.
It's probably what it is here just about right now. Maybe a degree or two warmer, but very nice right now. Very nice that it's very nice up there, because it's very nice here. Sometimes I'm not going to lie, I never really feel guilty about it.
By the way, on another note, have you ever had a new vehicle that the tires all wore down evenly so prematurely that you actually took them up on their warranty claims? I took my car in for a slow leak in the right rear yesterday over to Discount Tire, and they found a nail in it. Plugged it. He said, you know your tires need to be replaced. I mean, they're just barely. I go, I don't even have 20,000 miles on this thing. How the hell can that be? He just shrugs. I mean, I always keep air in them. I don't drive aggressively. I don't, how can you drive aggressively in a Ford Escape? And the tires have a 60,000 mile warranty or guarantee. And, you know, here I am 20,000 miles and they need replacement. Do I have recourse?
WTPT?
Dano, what's shaking?
Just connected up a minute ago, heard you mention the how nice of a day it was, or is. It's 60-something here as well. We're just looking out the hotel window. We're out in Elgin for staging. I don't think I've ever had tires on any of my vehicles go that quickly, but I wasn't real thrilled with the, my Grand Cherokee. They were pretty well shot at about 50,000, and that which was unusual. You know, I've had a couple of Grand Cherokees, and I was, you know, I was getting in the 70,000 mile range, you know, out of the tires now where they really kind of needed it.
Roger. Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, they're not at the point where they're considered old yet. They're like one, you know, one measurement away. Whatever. They were. He was explaining it. I don't know what the, were they 16ths or 30 seconds or something, or 64ths maybe. I don't know how they figured out. And he took his little laser thing and went around, and I was at 4 or 5 or something, and he said at 4 or 3, you gotta replace them. They're considered bald. I got, well, I got 20, after my little ride to Kalamazoo yesterday, I got 20, 140 on this thing, so I just turned 20,000 on it. So who are you staging?
We're staging the Washtenaw backup system at that 10-channel 4-slate simulcast. So it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to see it. Looking forward to seeing it. It's the new the DBR bases. Those are, you know, the replacement for the GTR. They don't have, you know, single unit versions of that like the GTR. If you know what the six pack is, the DBR is essentially the same thing as the GTR six pack, except they do two channels per, so it really is a 12 pack. There's talk that they were going to come out with a standalone version later on, but. You know, it's the idea. None of us have physically seen them before.
Well, that's cool. Well, they're going with a six-pack model. Then what are you doing with, how many channels is the Washtenaw? And say hi to Craigie and Mark. Are they both out there?
Actually, no. This is a non-customer witness staging event. You know, they didn't pay for a customer witness, but I did offer them, hey, you know, if you do want to come out, we'll make it work, you know. And they were both like, nah, hey, nobody got time for that, you know. So it's just you know, internal witness. You know, we got to go through the same ATP before they ship it, but. So they're 10 channel, but it's similar to the six pack, except that the DBRs, I don't know how they do it, but they're able to do two channels per station. So outwardly it looks like six bases, but it handles 12 channels. So they're 10, so we're covered.
So they sell them in six packs, but you can omit a few, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm not sure how they're doing two channels simultaneously on one base. So it'll have five base stations in it. You know, the sixth won't be populated.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they do that. You'll have to let me know what they're all about. Take some cool pictures. Let me see that bad boy. Or I can just, when's it slated? Is there a date it's going online? I'm sure I could just get out there and eavesdrop after you guys get it running.
Oh, yeah, I'll take some pictures. No doubt about that. It's shipping on they're going to start disassembling on Thursday. But let's put it this way. The civil work has not begun. We're adding a new shelter at 3 out of the 4 sites. The doors are all existing, three of which they own, one of which they lease. But, yeah, the civil work hasn't kicked off yet, so I'm thinking we're probably looking maybe September or so before it comes online.
Roger, must be nice to have money.
So it must have been that national championship last year or something. But that'd be fantastic. I'd love to do something like that here, but that'd be so far down my priority list of things, capital things that I would hit, the powers I'd be up for. I want to do that microwave loop, the Geo Prime, and a couple other things. And then it's still very much up in the air whether the 26 council upgrade is going to be funded under the agreement, or if it's going to be the local. So if that turns out not to be done like we were led to believe, that's going to be a real problem. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Nobody's, I think, looking forward to tackling that quite yet.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Then some of the upgrades they've done, we'll say they've kind of split the cost, or some of the peripherals they've had the dispatch pay for, but the expensive parts have been covered. I don't know. Time will tell. But, you know, the thing that that these guys got going for them is they have a communications millage that pays for, maintaining the whole system. And it also funds the subscribers, maintenance of everything. If it wasn't for the millage, they wouldn't be sitting as good as they are.
Yeah, we've discussed something like that over here, but we're not nearly as progressive a community as Washtenaw, so not sure how that would go. And right now, the one project, the one big new building to my east is consuming every bit of oxygen in the room, and also every bit of discretionary spending is like nope, and capital budgets are cut. We're fine with, departmental budgets, things like that, but any capital stuff, they're like slashing and whacking, looking for every penny they can get.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Well, with Washtenaw, they got the millage in place in, was it 07, I think? Yeah, I think it was either 07 or 08. It was a 10-year millage. They would have never been able to join the state system had they not done that. They needed to do something, man. The old two-site analog system was in in rough shape. That enabled them to bring, fire and, an EMS along and, as well. So that was a grassroots effort back then, on the ballot to be approved, and then it was renewed in, it must have been 18. I know it wasn't, it's been a little bit, that the millage was up and, there wasn't really any problem because, it has to be voted on, public ballot, so there wasn't really any opposition to the renewal of the millage, which also funded the life cycle on the portables too, because the XPSs and all that were getting long in the tooth. So the millage has served the county well. Of course, they can only spend that money on the communication system. The county can't divert it for anything. WFUW, 2PUT.
Oh, yeah, you got to make sure that's a stipulation. You also have to make sure if they are funding anything that they don't kill that, kind of like the old lottery trick. But, we talk about it. We have user fees. Annual user fee, and if we could switch to that model instead, there would be a
that benefit as well. And, yeah, keeping the subscribers updated, man, that's huge. So I got a lot of the Kentwoods rearing their ugly heads. So, you know, having something like that would go a long way toward making sure we see a lot more APXs. Anywho, so you all done for the day? I'm guessing it's an hour behind. So it's, what, 4:44 over there? But we got the, you guys do daylight savings at the same time. And what time is it over there now?
Yeah, it's an hour difference. So let's see. According to my phone, it says it's 16:44 here. Of course, you know, our my internal clock is running at Eastern Standard Time. So, yeah, there's two of us that are here now. Still a couple people, you know, traveling to it to get here. Yeah, the hotel we're staying at, there's a Bennigan's restaurant in the hotel here. They're like, Bennigan's? What, is that like the last one in the U.S.? So, in a couple hours, when everybody gets here, we'll grab a bite to eat.
Very good. Sounds like a plan. Were you on the Utica call today? I thought I saw your name on the list, but I don't remember if you ever got in there. They were looking for you, but I think, maybe not. Maybe I'm mistaken on that. But Wednesday they're going to have a little party, try to figure out the at least the ATP part.
Oh, yeah, I was on that. I almost opened my trap and, you know, tossed my 2 cents in. But you know, I'm going to keep my mouth shut at the moment. I think they have a reasonable course of action to start with, and I didn't want to complicate the matter. So, personally, I spent a little bit of time on the phone on Friday with Burton, you know, Google Maps. You know, it's like, what is in between these two places? And, you know, that Ford electrical automotive, I forget exactly what the name of the plant is literally right in the middle of the path. And, you know, I kind of wonder if they don't have some type of, you know, BDA working in a facility that, you know, when it sees RF, it puts RF out. You know, it's not just continuously stream, you know, if it sees something, you know, it picked up something on 4.9, so it's trying to repeat it. You know, not necessarily just all, you know, on full time. That's what I was kind of wondering. Speculation. I don't have any facts to back that up, but you know, it you know, in concept, that could be an issue. But I think they got a good plan to start with.
Yeah, I like you wanted to mostly remain quiet. You know, it does look an awful lot like a BDA of some sort. And there's more than that. That's directly in the path. There's some other factors there that I, you know, I wanted to bring up. Unfortunately, I got to be in Lansing on Wednesday, so I'm going to send everyone's favorite technician, Mickey, out there. And I'm sure that'll just be the light. That'll liven things right up. But I have to... I really can't make it, so that sucks. There is a, if you think of it, you get talking to Bert, literally right across the side street from 06 is like a military and aerospace technology center. And then it's literally right, you're pointing at it. You know, within a half a degree, not even. It's right there where you're trying to go. So, you know, could even be something going on there. Also, you got the big military aerospace vendor, which is just a half mile to the west.
And so there's a lot of stuff going on there that could be doing all sorts of stuff you'll never figure out. That's why I told them, the only thing I piped up about was just, if you're going to have the jacks out there, and they're going to be up there, and you prove that it's something whenever 20 goes up live, then spin that baby around, point it at 7, and see if that solves it, and then sharpen your pencils and figure out how to move the other end from 6 to 7, right? That's about the only thing I want to say. While you got the guys out there, hanging.
ABAPR.
Hey, good afternoon, Phil. How are you doing today? Sean, I was unaware of the other places there. I mean, I don't really know much about what's there, and just looking at a company name, it's kind of tough to tell what's going on. Yeah, I'd say that those are even better suspects than than something that Ford might have going on. Very interesting. Hey, go ahead, Phil, pick it up. WTPT, staring out the window at the hotel here in Elgin, Illinois.
Okay, very good. It's interesting while you guys are talking. I was right behind a vehicle that had a regular Michigan Winter Wonderland plate that started, the first four key characters were 2-P-U-T. What a coincidence. Anyways, I just wanted to mention that you may not need your extra T on Sunday, depending on what happens, is that I pulled my existing amp out and was able to isolate the final driver board and finally get the transistor out of there, and it measured bad, and I just ordered a new one that's coming Wednesday probably. I'm going to throw that in, and if it fires up and the amp puts out the full power, I won't be looking to buy that GE thing. So I just wanted to let you know that, but I'm still going down there regardless. I think Sean's coming too. So that's it, and I'm just about where I'm going, so I just wanted to jump in and tell you that. Go ahead, Sean. Hey, BAPR.
Sounds good. Yeah, I didn't have those. Man, I couldn't find. I've got so few RF finals laying around anymore. We used to keep them in a bin, but God, it's been years, so I think they just made their way to the bin. Anyhow, dance.
All right, well, hey, good luck with the P repair there, Phil. Hopefully that works out for you. A lot cheaper than buying another PA. Yeah, I was looking for that email from the guy about the Master 3 power control circuit that we had talked about, and it's messenger call coming in on the family thread. I can't find it, so I put it out on the Master 3 groups.io. See if I get an answer there. If I can find my book, I can probably figure it out. WTPT.
Okay, very good. Let's take a call there. And yeah, no problem. So. All right, I'm half a mile from where I'm going, so catch you later. Sean will talk later and figure out where we'll meet up before going down there or something. Or probably, I don't know, 696 in Farmington area, something like that.
Sure. What? It's Saturday or Sunday, and what time do you want to meet up?
It's Sunday, and I figure it'll take about an hour to get down there, so I'm thinking meet up, 7:30-ish.
Oh, hell, you want to sleep in? I'm thinking 5. You just getting a regular admission at the door?
Yeah, no table or anything. You want to go earlier? I can do earlier.
Don't matter to me. You know, whichever you want to do, because I really don't want to buy anything. So if I go real early, you know, I could stumble across something I can't live without. So, and I have spent all my discretionary spending cash and then some this month, so I would much rather not.
All right, well, we'll figure it out. I'm where I need to be. AVAPR, catch you later.
All right, catch you later. W8FU.
Yeah, catch you later, Phil. It was a misfire by my daughter-in-law and the family thread there. So, well, Sean, you know, you can always go down and buy a cup of coffee or something like that. I'm thinking maybe a few of us could meet up for lunch afterwards.
Or what time and which Waffle House?
That is an excellent question. I'd have to look at the map to see which Waffle House.
Well, we'll jump on the node. And if that's the boy, yeah, I think it is. Young man now. So just come in my neighborhood and about 10 plus years ago. Let's see, it's 14, 25, 15. Oh God, it's probably 20 years ago now. My chopper, loud straight pipe Harley chopper, 63 panhead, broke down in front of his house, and this little boy comes out and he goes, "Wow, that's cool." And I says, you know, and I asked him if he had a tool. Yeah, and he goes and he finds when he comes back, and he's sitting there helping me, and I was just putzing around the neighborhood trying to get work out a problem. And his pops comes out, and I get talking to him, and I just drove by the house again, and I saw the young man, and I was going to say, holy cow, time flies. He's got facial hair and a girlfriend.
Oh, gosh, I know. It's weird when you see him later on. So, at the SD, we got this a guy who's, you know, he's been on the department for a while. He's married. He's got 3 kids, I think. But I remember, I didn't realize who it was, but I remember when he was a kid, he had a scanner. He listened to us on VHS, and when we were, you know, responding to a call, we were, you know, going out Main Street, he would be out at the curb waving at us as we went past. He knew all the trucks and, you know, he heard the calls. And he was on the department for a couple years when someone joked, it's like, it wasn't that long ago. You were standing out at the curb with your scanner waving as we go past. And that's when I finally put the ears like, oh, my God, that was him. W8FU, WTPT.
Yeah, it's amazing. Time flies. Bad an eye. You see it in your own family, but you see them a lot, so you know you don't notice it. But that kid, I haven't seen in forever, and it must have been him. So, all right, Dan, I just pulled up here. Have fun. Sounds like a good time. It's always a good time. I've been one of them since he's probably Warren's 6809. No, probably been their. No, it would have been their 68. Their Astro 68 system that they upgraded in, when was that? That would have been, when was that? When did they transition? I don't know. But that would have been the only customer-attended Schaumburg show I ever went to. Aside from, you know, I was there for school and stuff. But, all right, I'm here. I'm at the house. I'm going to make this my last, get inside, and start my evening. Have fun. After yours, W8FU.
Well, Okay, Sean, I think the last time I was out here was maybe when the U was on the system stage. I think that might have been the last time. I know that I made a few trips back and forth in that time frame, so I did myself a favor and got an eye pass. I do not regret doing that. I mean, you know, hey, I expense it anyway, but maybe it was fun. Hey, have a great evening, and we'll catch up with you later. W8FU, WTBUT.
W8FU.
Heading to El Charo's. Mama wants tacos, so Mama wants tacos. I gotta go get tacos.
Okay, you'll tough it out, eh? El Charo sounds fantastic. Just leaving, whoa, bumpy road. Just leaving Bald Mountain with KZ Dave. Actually, you're ahead of me a little bit. Had a good quarter today.
Man, the retired life. Must be nice. Nice day, though. Good deal. I turned the radio on a little bit when I got home. Seemed pretty quiet. How were the bands?
I stuck to 20-meter FT8 and did just fine. Really, no problem at all. And they did 10 and 15. And they were both okay. Not great, but, you know, it worked.
All right, there you go. Sounds like a plan. And like I said, a great day to do it, so there's that. Anywho, nothing else to report, really? Oh, man. Normally I get home, I get that post-work sweepy. I don't usually nap, but there have been a few times where I dozed in the chair.
Oh yeah, I know the feeling. I'm sure I will be doing that. I'm gonna either find something to eat on the way home, or as soon as I get home. And I'm sure there's a nap in my future. It might not be a big one, but it'll be in my chair.
I tell you what, though, I left the house in shorts and a t-shirt. So, there is that.
Wow, you are biting at the bit there, chopping at the bit, whatever that is, you know what it is. Yeah, I couldn't do that because I was going to be outside at a picnic table for hours. I would have got cold. But definitely a good day to wear shorts if you're just out and about.
Yeah, if I had to do anything more than just jump in the car, go through a drive-thru, and then jump out of the car when I get home, I'd have opted for probably a hoodie and sweatpants or something. But I was sitting there in the shorts and the t-shirt, and I just walked out the door, and Andrea says something. She goes, "You're going like that?" And I thought about it for a minute, and I says, "Yeah, I am." So it's already dropped like 6 degrees since it was like 70 when I hit the road from work, but the sun's setting. There's a little bit of a wind coming out of the west, and it's already down to 64. Hell, it's probably going to be into the 50s by the time I get home with the food.
Ah, well, my watch, which is was getting some sort of temperature from a Lake Orion station somewhere, peaked out at about 64, and my car is now reporting 59. If you saw 70, I believe it. Very good.
I left work late today, about 5:30, I don't know. And when I jumped in the car and was driving home, I noticed it was 69 or 70 degrees. Maybe it's 70. So that was quite something. Reach 64 right now, so didn't take much for that to dip. All right, anyhow, I am dumping onto 696 at Van Dyke. It is always a nightmare. It is a little later than usual, so maybe not, but I'm going to maybe have to drop here in a second as soon as I crest this. As soon as I... No, looks like it might be moving. Ah. All right. Yeah, I guess it's a little later than... Yeah, good. I was anticipating a problem.
Cool. All clear for the get-on. Yeah, I'm at Rochester Road and Tinkin at the moment, so making my way east toward home in a moment as soon as I make the turn.
Roger. Well, I got everything all hooked up today. Unfortunately, my office is an extremely bad room, you know, just with all the crap and everything like that, but made me smile anyhow, impressive. And then I tore it all apart, boxed it all back up, and that's it. But did take it for a hour and a half test drive.
Very good, rocked it out of the office, that's cool. Well, you know it's all functional then, and you got a good idea of what it's capable of. So, very good. Yeah, you got to be dying to get that going at your new room when you get that squared away.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge because I got a lot of stuff up there I've got to either pitch or find somewhere else to put. And I've already stumbling across stuff, but as soon as I get that room cleared out, and then I want to get it all cleaned up and painted, and then I got to start the task of figuring out how to treat it. I got to get it all the treatments up and everything, and figure out where I'm going to have problems. I'm probably going to have to get things, you know, going and get a baseline. Try to figure out, but the entire room is going to be. Is going to be treated so that you know, for it's going to be optimized. Whatever it takes.
Yep, it's amazing what you can do with a staple gun and egg cartons these days.
I'm hoping there's some legit stuff that I can. I don't mind if it has a. You know, if it has that look, but I don't want to do it with, you know, on the cheap. I do want to do it on the cheap, but I don't want to just, you know, grab any old thing. I want the stuff to look, you know, purposeful and all that stuff. And so that's going to be a whole nother exploration because I have no idea what. You know, what the dynamics of that particular layout is going to be with them funky walls and everything.
Well, you seem to have the benefit of uniformity, so that will help. And then, yeah, the products you need, I'm sure, are available, and I'm sure there's all kind of price ranges for it. So, and then just figuring out what product and the actual process to where and how much and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that I would have to do the same as you and really dive into the research on that and figure it all out.
I'll just get a hold of KZ8C Dave and I'll say, Dave, I need your expert opinion on room acoustics.
Oh, he just came in.
Who did? You did?
I did. I was just in the store, grabbed an avocado and some cheese.
put on some chicken burgers this evening.
Yeah.
What did I miss? ZZ8Z.
Oh, I was just explaining to Greg that I got everything hooked up and demoed, even though the place where I was checking everything out was absolutely horrific. But I just wanted to make sure everything was fully functional, you know. But it still put a smile on my face, but the room was just absolutely terrible. But no, then I got to talking about the room where it's going. Is starting the, I got to get going on the process of getting that all acoustically fixed. So that's going to be a journey in and of itself.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Greg was saying you got the speakers and an amp and stuff, so you're well on your way back to your audio file. There's a place in downtown Rochester, the next time you're there, I think it's called Soundtrack. Man, they have some high-end stuff. They have like a pair of speakers that's like $200,000. It's crazy. No, I got some new stuff, but it's for an AV receiver. You know, AV stuff in my room is not acoustically sound at all. I'm not that guy. I just like to mess stuff loud and have it sound good. Greg?
Apparently Greg doesn't want to play, but yeah, so I was into it before the kids, you know, and I've still got most of my stuff from back then. I just, you know, I got a small house, and when the kids were, you know, it's a bungalow, and I had two bedrooms on the first floor, and then the whole upper floor was another bedroom, and my daughter had the whole upstairs, that was her bedroom, and my son had the second bedroom on the first floor, and there was just nowhere. That stuff was just stored, you know, and tucked away. And I was just thinking about it recently, and you know, it's like we're empty nesters now. I got my house back, so I can hook my stuff up, man. So, anywho, that was how the whole ball started rolling, and. Roll it did, but enough on that. I am in sight of my destination here, so I got to get inside and order the chow food to eat.
Sounds good. I am pulling in the garage right now, so I'll talk at you later. Tomorrow's supposed to be another nice day. Not like today, but nice. Okay, Sean, 73, talk to you at KZAZ.
Still got a little ways to get home. Oh, okay, you are still here. I am just pulling up to the drive-thru at El Charo, looking at a fast food one in Shores. I'll be back.
WEAP.
What up, Derek?
Oh, no, I don't know what's up. Who is that?
It is I, KZASI.
Greg, I'm not used to hearing you with any noise in your signal. You must be, what, mobile, walkie-talkie?
Oh, I am... 5 mile and mound.
Either 25 and mound or 5 mile and mound. I don't think you'd be down at 5 mile and mound. 25 and mound, I can believe.
Yep, 25 and mound, eastbound.
Roger. Sure is a beautiful day out. My temperature in the car here, outdoor temperature, wavering between 64 and 65. It's unheard of.
Yeah,
Dave and I were at Bald Mountain for a PODAC station. I was there from about 12:30 to about 6:30. So good day outside for me. It was mostly about 64. My car is recording 61 right now.
Very good. Did you say Dave or DVN?
Dave, KZ8Z Dave.
Oh, wow. I totally forgot about that, Dave. Sorry, Dave, if you're listening. Well, very good. That's cool. Beautiful day for it. I was up at Stony Creek yesterday, and it was windy out. I think it would have been too windy yesterday.
Yeah, I heard you a little bit on the radio when you were there. And, we got a couple little gusts, but for the most part, it was just fine. Chili dog antenna, it was bent over a little bit, but nothing major. I was comfortable the whole time. I had a shirt jack that I was taking on and off between being warm and chilly, but mostly off, and a long sleeve t-shirt, so not bad at all.
Yeah, very good. Well, I think I might take these salty floor mats out of my car and clean them. I don't want to get the hose out, so I'll probably bring them in, put them in the tub in the laundry room, rinse them off. A lot of salt on those mats. A lot of salt used this year. Didn't use much salt in the last few years, but this year they used a lot of salt.
Yeah, it's good time for the cleanup of all that. I don't know that we're done with salt for the year, but either way, it doesn't hurt to clean them.
WAEAP. Yeah, I hear you. We always get that one blast towards the end of the month. I'm thinking in the next week or two we'll get one last snowstorm. Maybe not down here. Maybe just up north. But yeah. You're right, but I feel like cleaning it. I'm sick and tired of looking at dirty mats. It drives me nuts. Anywho, I'm just about home, and you're probably just about home, so we will catch you later. I got to figure out what I'm going to have for dinner. So, catch you later, 7-3s, W-A-E-A-B.
All right, 25 in Jewel, heading down to 24 Mile. I'm going to stop for some Chinese, and then I'll be home after that. Hey, VSI.
Okay, on the road with the grub, with the Futski.
All right, very good. You missed Eric for a minute, but he just got home. I decided I'm stopping for Chinese, and I'm about a mile and a half from there. So then I will have grub.
I used to work here at 10 and Harper, like just north of 10 Mile. And El Charles is at 9 and a half. And there's a Chinese restaurant just a little south. And so I used to love that place. I used to go there all the time. But I have not been to that Chinese restaurant in a very long time. Because I've got one that we absolutely love in Royal Oak, and that's, you know, just a couple miles from me. So I wouldn't come all the way over here for Chinese. But if I was ever out this way and I wanted Chinese, I wouldn't mind going there. It's been a very long time, though.
It seems like a ways to go to El Charro's. 10 and Harper from your house. There's not a closer one.
Fraser is about the same, but Fraser is, you know, surface streets and lights, whereas this one is, pretty much all 696.
know, I'm just off 696 at the Quinter, and this one's just off, well, it's 10-mile road 94, but, you know, you just rip out 696. And so it ends up, this one ends up being arguably faster.
Understood. Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking about was the Fraser one. I'm almost that much closer to you, but you're right, speed-wise or even just easier drive-wise, I get it.
Yeah, this one's not far from the freeway, and I'm not far from the freeway, so it's, you know, provided there's nothing boogering up the freeway, it's pretty easy. And it'd probably be six, one half dozen the other. I don't know, but the Fraser one is all surface, and you got to cross Mound, you got to cross Van Dyke, and if it's a time of day when any of the plants are letting in and out, getting across Van Dyke is a big deal. Can be, I should say. So this one is safer bet, faster, smoother. What are you going to do? So I'm not ever up your way. I was going to say, what Chinese place do you like, but I'm never up that way, when I would be looking for Chinese food. But we got one in Royal Oak we like a lot. That's my go-to. There's a couple others that are pretty good, too, but God, there's so much Chinese food. There's probably, 30 between any destination.
Oh, yeah, they're everywhere. This one I'm at is called Jin's China King, right on the corner from my house. It's less than a mile. So, anyway, I'm here. I'm going to go in and get it ordered so I can get home and eat. I'm hungry. I will talk at you later. KZVSI.
All righty, that'll let me focus on driving, and the phone's ringing. I'll be back. W8F. One ringy thingy.
Got my dinner.
Me too, but then you knew that. I am, approaching the exit on the freeway here. So I'm in the home stretch.
Yep, me too. Stopped at a light and then home within a minute after that.
What'd you get?
Oh, my usual sweet and sour chicken.
Yeah, I do like that. I haven't had that in a very long time, though. I've been trying to, get the ones that are, less apt to have a sweet, a sauce that has any kind of sugar or carbs in it. And then I get things that I can eat without having to pay attention, man. This guy's, drifting over to the other lane in front of me. Poor car next to him keeps moving and moving. I get things that I can avoid sauces like that, and also eat with a minimal amount of rice, because, rice ain't good for me either. Oh, my God, this guy is a dingbat. Jeez, oh, Pete.
I understand. Watching what you eat. Gotta watch out for them dingbats, too. Anyway, I'm getting into my sub, and I'm going to get in and wash up and eat, so we shall chat at you later. KE8BFI.
It was an Asian woman, so go figure. All right, anywho, I am very close to my destination as well. Catch you later. Enjoy. W8FU.